All right, so I have a bit of a riddle for you today regarding today's subject.
Okay.
What's slimy and oopy goopy, yucky, slicky, shiny, slippy, sticky, ucky, yucky, slithering all over, all covered in ooze, it's all mucky, yucky, oozy, nasty, like a slug took a slime pill, made it 100 times more squelchy, slurpy, trailing, snot and greasy, clammy, mucus, viscous, muddy, slimy, but this freaky, creepy wriggles fast and stays low? And this slippery, oily, tricksy beastie has a wicked KD? This spooky, eerie, freaky, scary weirdo eats the dead like a cool freak with no scruples?
Is it my lunch?
No, Cameron. It's the hagfish.
Monster crazy.
How's it going?
Hi.
How's it going?
Welcome back to Monster Crazy with Slimy Cameron, that's me.
And oozy nasty Kai, that's me. Oosty.
Oosty.
I'm feeling oosty today, you know?
Oosty boosty.
Oosty boosty woosty.
Glorbulent Cameron.
Glorbulent is a cool word.
Yeah, I just came up with it scientifically.
That's cool.
It's a combination of glue, orb, and eulint.
That all makes sense for describing what the sensual feeling that we're describing today, which is very snot and greasy, clammy. Actually, you had pretty close ties with this researching. Could you tell us a little bit about your experience with hagfish?
Oh yeah, I had a bit too close of an encounter. You see, I was in the Pacific Northwest, which is, I guess, where they catch some of these fine critters, which I can't reveal. We can't reveal their name yet. You have to wait for the big reveal when we tell you what we're talking about. Or I guess we already did that.
Yeah, and also it's the name of the episode.
It's also the name of the episode, but I'm going to star it out so nobody knows. But we also said it on the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
I fell into a giant pit and I got glued.
Yeah.
I got completely splugified. And I was encased in biotic
slime for a week.
That was me.
That's right. So we're talking about the hagfish today, which is probably I'd say the most slime adjacent creature.
Yeah.
Ever.
I also have to say real quick before we really get into it, I think the worst part of getting slimed by those hagfish, it totally clogged my gills.
Yeah.
My gills were completely clogged shut with slime.
Yeah. I hate it when my gills get clogged up with slime and then I can't eat because I can't eat and breathe at the same time and my gills are clogged.
Yeah, my gills got completely clogged. But anyway, yeah, we're talking about hagfish.
That was awesome.
Yeah, hagfish, which are also called slime eels, or this is my favorite, slime hags.
That's
or
sick.
Also, I read some people call them snotties.
Snotties is cool. I feel like
snotties is cool.
Snotties feels a little bit like too informal, though, because no one. I mean, they're deep sea. No one gets to be casual with a slime fish. A hagfish.
That's one of the one. It's a. The thing about, I guess we'll get into it, but they actually are like fairly commonly encountered because of how they feed. So, I think that snotties would probably be like fisherman slang, if it is anything.
That makes sense.
Maybe somebody just said it.
I wonder if fishermen like catching a hagfish by accident or don't like catching a hagfish
by
accident.
I think they really don't like it, but we'll save that because how they get caught is pretty fun.
So, anyways, I guess we should talk about what a hagfish is. So, first of all, what they look like. They basically look like if a hot dog had a face, or like if they don't even really have a face. They look fucked up.
They kind of have a face.
Yeah.
They have like a bear. They have like the small, the like least defined thing you could consider a face. Like they have eyes and mouth, and they have one nostril too. Did you know that?
I didn't know that they had one nostril. And then
they have one nostril.
I mean, also kind of like a face along the entirety of their body. They have a series of pores for excreting slime. Oh. No, that's not a normal part of it. Never mind. but no.
Yeah.
They have
tooth-like structures.
Yeah.
Like me. I have those too.
Yeah, and they also have like four appendages sticking out around the mouth, kind of like a predator.
Yeah. I mean, they basically look like an Instagram viral video of someone filling up sausage casing.
They look like a leech and a snake, like in between a leech and a snake.
Yeah, and an eel. But they're not eels, they're fish.
Yeah, but that's debatable. They kind of they really like fall into a category of their own, which is interesting. Yeah.
While we're still on visuals, they have the same type of quote unquote face, kind of. I mean, I know probably not anatomically, but it looks like, if you imagine your head a slug, it's a similar thing where they have kind of stalks and tentacles going on, and it's slimy looking.
They do look very similar to a slug, even though they're not the same type of guy, really.
Yeah.
Their teeth things look horrifying.
Their teeth are crazy. Yeah, mm-hmm. they have teeth that go vertical. That's the thing too, is they're not even teeth, they're like quote unquote teeth like structures.
Yeah, they have a lot of stuff that's like analogous to stuff that other animals have, but they really are kind of their own thing. Like, so one thing that I think is cool, actually I think this is probably a fine segue into like their anatomy.
I guess one more visual thing I want to say really quick before we move on, that's a basic level, if you're picturing this in your head and you don't have Google in front of you, is they're pinkish gray. They're pink, can range from pink to gray, and sometimes have some spots on them. And also, they're usually around about 20 inches long, but the largest ones they've found have been up to 4 feet long.
Yeah.
And the smallest ones have been like 2 inches long. So that's the general visual idea that we're working with here. But yeah, you talk about their anatomy now.
Okay. Well, also when you're looking at one, you can't, if you were looking for it, you could see their eyes, but their eyes are not very prevalent. And part of that is because anatomically, their skin just goes right over their eyes. And they're thinking that, hagfish maybe at one point in the evolutionary train had eyes, like they didn't have eyes a long, long time ago, and then they slowly developed eyes, and then they slowly are in the process of undeveloping their eyes again because they don't really need them.
Hagfish, current extant hagfish have like they have eye spots, which are like eyes that can only detect light and can't like see images at all. Mm-hmm. So they can kind of just tell the difference between light and dark is the thing that they have now. And I guess, yeah, at some point they found fossils that show that are like hagfish type animals that had complex eyes.
Mm-hmm.
But now, so it seems like, yeah, they did have eyes at one point and now they're getting rid of them, which is sick.
There are actually only two hagfish fossils that have been found in existence of like proper hagfish, just because they're made primarily of soft tissue. So they kind of, it's like the conditions need to be just right for hagfish remains to not like the way that I heard it described by, this is a real term, apparently the hagfishologist that I was listening to talk about them. He was saying that they're too similar to their surroundings, when they die. So they just like really turn back into the stuff that they've been around, which is gross and cool.
Wow.
Yeah,
speaking of them being mostly soft tissue too, another anatomical thing about them that is completely crazy is they have skulls but no vertebrae or vertebral column.
They have no other bones.
They have a skull made of cartilage, mainly of cartilage, and then they just have nothing else.
It's crazy that they're just a skull.
Yeah. Just a skull is nuts.
That skull is shaped kind of like a rib cage. It's like a perforated skull.
Really? I'm going to look up a picture of it right now.
It's kind of hard to find like a clear picture of a hagfish skull, but it is perforated and looks sick. So the fact that they don't have a spinal cord has people going like, huh? As far as how to categorize them, because like when people are in taxonomy, like one of the biggest distinctions between animals are vertebrates and invertebrates. And that's defined by having a spine. And these guys don't really have a spine, but they are technically in the, I don't remember what part of the animal kingdom.
Chordates.
Yeah, they are chordates, but it's because they have something called a notochord?
Notochord, yeah.
Yeah, which is functionally a spine.
Yeah, it's like nerves that go down their back, but it's not like a bone. It doesn't have a vertebral column. Mm-hmm.
I feel like they totally are just vertebrates that have like a very special spine that lets them be like the softest, slimiest guys around.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I guess I don't know anything about paleontology or whatever, besides Jurassic Park is awesome, but I feel like they, in my head canon or whatever, they had a spine and they just evolved it away because they didn't want it.
Yeah, I feel like that's basically right. I mean, one of their evasive maneuvers that they literally do is they tie themselves into a knot and like ring slime. Well, I don't want to get into the slime.
Yeah,
yet,
I don't want to get into that yet. We want to save that. I think it's fun though, like, because I mean, I feel like likely, I mean, there's some kind of vertebrate that didn't need a spine anymore, but it's really fun to imagine that they were that the opposite direction. They were like a worm, and they're like, I really need a skull.
They turned into the king worm.
Yeah, they were a worm that grew a skull and a nervous system or whatever.
That'd be tight. Yeah, no, they just like more like evolutionarily turned into a vertebrate by themselves from a different.
Yeah.
Wow. Holy shit! There are some really fucked up pictures of hagfish.
Yeah, but so basically, yeah, they're not sure how to categorize, like, how to classify hagfish, really, and there are the two, like, main theories are whether it was a, quote-unquote, degenerated vertebrate fish, you know, that it was a fish that eventually evolved to not have a vertebral column anymore, or if hagfish are, yeah, like, are a thing that hasn't evolved a vertebral column yet,
yeah.
Like, if they're on their way to evolving a spine. And apparently, recent evidence is saying that they are more. It's more likely that they were fish that lost a spine, as opposed to vice versa.
They are very old, though.
Yeah,
they're like dummy old. It was like 300 to 500. 350 million is the oldest like evidence we have of them, but it's guessed that they could be up to a 500 million year old thing.
It's so cool that something this bizarre, which I know we haven't even really gotten into how bizarre they are. Don't worry, there's a lot more coming.
Oh, yeah.
But it's so cool that something this bizarre has been able to remain unchanged. Like, something this bizarre is also efficient and a good at being what it is.
Yeah, no, it's like perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, man, there's some of the fact, like, okay, it looks cool, or I guess I don't know if it looks cool. It looks fucked up. But the real cool stuff does not come from its looks. Its beauty lies within. I don't know. What else should we talk about? Well, we should probably talk about like it serves in the ecosystem.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have a little more like anatomy type stuff. If we want to talk anatomy anymore, I have some interesting stuff going on there.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, so we talked about they have one nostril. That's just fun.
Yeah.
That's nothing to talk about there, but it's just fun. They also have their jaws are cool. They have these like they have the it's kind of like two like I guess plates. I think it's one plate that comes out and they have two sets of like they're kind of like they're spiny. They're like comb type teeth type structures.
Mm-hmm.
And their mouth comes in and out and pulls meat off of or food and pulls it into their mouth basically. So it's essentially a xenomorph type mouth going on there, which is very cool. And it looks like one too if you look at a picture. And then the thing that I found probably the most interesting about just their anatomy in general is their skin is like super loose. It's only attached to their body at all along the middle of their back, like up at their back, and then also on their slime glands, and they're essentially so they just have this loose fitting sock of skin that just in case it's just blood. They have a third of their body's blood is just free floating inside their skin.
What the
so
fuck?
They're basically just a sack filled with blood, and the assumption there for why this is because when predators try to bite it, it's like hard to get a handle on it because it's just a blobby sack with just like this like loose skin that just can move around really easily. And there's nothing to like tear at because it's not really attached very much.
Oh my God.
So they kind of just try to bite into it and it just like blorps away from them. And it's just like, but they also, this is another interesting fact. I'll just read this. They have the highest blood volume to body mass of any chordate. They have 17 milliliters of blood per 100 gram of mass. So out of all the chordates, which are like
so they're mostly,
all vertebrates
they're mostly
and then a few
blood.
Other, They just have a huge amount of blood in there that's just free.
Ugh.
Freely inside their skin.
Just a blood sock.
Yeah, it's literally a blood sock with a xenomorph mouth.
Ugh. And that blood sock, I don't know if you guys have ever seen videos of hagfish dining, but oh, well, we're not there yet. Do you have any more anatomy things?
I think that's, I mean, unless we want to, but the only anatomy thing left I had to talk about would be that slimy, slimy slime, baby.
Yeah, well, I think we should save slime for last, to be honest, because the slime is the coolest part, in my opinion.
Okay.
Oh, well, one thing about their dining is hagfish only need to eat, like, once a year. They have, like, incredibly slow metabolisms, and in captivity they're fed like every three to six months, but they eat worms that are, you know, out about in the ocean, but they also just like find carcasses that float down to the deep ocean and just wriggle their way in there and just start fucking going ham.
Yeah, they eat stuff from the inside out a lot of the time, which is completely crazy.
Also, they look like intestines.
Yeah, they look like intestines, and believe it or not, on top of just looking like intestines, their bodies act like intestines because they can actually absorb nutrients through their skin, and it's actually more efficient than their actual intestines inside them. So just by being inside a carcass or whatever and tearing off pieces of food and having the nutrients around them, they can just absorb that food through skin contact.
If they're just, so they like really are trying to shred
something. Literally
up.
Are intestines.
That is so wild, because like they'd go in there, they'd shred stuff up, there'd just be like bits of like tiny ocean shrimp poo and like whale bits and just like, you know, all the nasty gunk just floating in the air, or not the air, floating in the ocean water, and they just like are absorbing all of that.
Yeah, so they'll pull stuff into their mouth, but they'll also just passively be absorbing nutrients.
That is so cool. I wish I could do that.
I know, that would be so sick. I actually wish I'm actually glad, because I don't want to be eating all the dirt and poop I put on my hands all the time.
That's a good point. But it would also be cool to be able to like walk through a cafeteria and give someone some like some knowing side eye, and they look down and like part of their hamburger is gone because you've passively consumed.
Just eating the entire buffet like a credit card scammer walking through with an RFID.
You're wearing dark sunglasses as you do all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
And you leave 120 pounds heavier and just go, like, oh, that's that for the year.
Oh my god.
Yeah, the hagfish are crazy, and apparently they're.
But they
go ahead.
Just another thing too about them feeding, is that they. I know we talked about how they go into carcasses. They don't just go into carcasses. They also will sometimes go into the bodies of not dead but dying animals. So things that are still alive but are very weak.
Horrible.
They'll go in there. Yeah. And they also have been known, there are some types of fish that they will actually like hunt.
I feel like hagfish maybe have the least scruples of any animal.
Yeah, they know what they want.
Yeah.
They're in there. But them going for dying or weakened animals is the reason we were talking about earlier. Fishermen see a lot of hagfish is because, you know, a trawler could be, you know, have a huge net they're pulling through the ocean or whatever. And it's like if they're doing deep sea fishing, you know, and they tangle up some fish or something and it's dying. Hagfish will find that fish and they will just like, go to fucking town on it. And that, I guess, is fairly common, is that they just like will just fucking go inside stuff that gets caught in nets, and then fishermen will pull it up and their catch is completely ruined by all these slimy blood worms.
Also, I can't imagine that hagfish smell good.
No, I think that they probably don't. I feel like the best case scenario is seawater.
Yeah, but the worst case scenario, which I think is likely, is like something that lives in like the lowest point on Earth and eats the carcasses of whales and burrows into them. I mean, I don't know, man. That can't smell great. But anyways, with their eating habits, apparently, they serve a very important purpose in doing that. They are incredibly efficient cleanup crews for the dead and the dying. So they, despite being, you know, pretty disgusting, they're also very, very important.
Yeah, they are. I mean, even if they didn't serve an important purpose, I would want them on this earth.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they are honestly, I think they are the most Dungeons and Dragons monster-ass animal that exists ever, maybe.
There's actually a Dungeons and Dragons monster based off of hagfish that I'll talk about later.
Yeah, I'm sure there are several.
There's one main one, though, but I don't want to talk about that yet. I think we should talk about slime. And to preface slime, I would just really quickly like to read the title of a news article.
Yeah.
July 17th, 2017. American slime story. Truck filled with live eels crashes on Oregon coastal highway, coating other vehicles in goo. Gruesome videos show bulldozers shoveling their eels and their slime off the road.
That's so awesome. Yeah.
It's incredible.
I actually went to, so yeah, this is, I mean, I guess I want to just talk about this event in detail because it's so awesome, but I guess in the PNW where they catch, shout out to my friends in the PNW though.
Hey.
Who are fishing for hagfish. Holla. But I guess there's a bunch of hagfish fisheries in the Pacific Northwest because you can catch them up there, and they're in high demand in Asia. They're eaten in Korea a bunch, and I think they're used. So their slime is used as a possible like tofu replacement or something in Japan or something. Anyway, people in Asia want hagfish. They fish them up in the Pacific Northwest and they ship them to Asia. And that's what happened here is there were a shit ton of hagfish that they fished for and they were in a big truck taken to be like shipped over or whatever. And yeah, the truck like crashed and all the hagfish spilled out. And but when hagfish are stressed out, they make slime.
They all just made slime.
And it completely covered the road and it like completely slimed a car. And like a lot of the cars that were on the road at the time were completely unrecoverable. Like they were just like irreversibly ruined by this slime. And they needed bulldozers to clean it up. And I actually have gone, I went to the trouble. I moused around for a little bit on Google Maps, and I have the exact latitude and longitude of this event for if anybody who lives out there in Oregon would like to go make a holy pilgrimage to the slime site. It's in Otter Rock, Oregon, and it's the latitude and longitude is latitude 44 degrees, 45 minutes, 57.8 seconds north, and longitude 87 degrees, 3 minutes, and 52.7 seconds west. So if you want to go check it out, that's where it happened. Go see if you can find some slime residue from 5 years ago.
Some say it's still sticky to this day.
I'll post the picture of the car that got slimed because it's fucking insane.
The pictures and videos from this accident are what it looks like. God sneezed. It's like, so fucked up. It's awesome. I can't believe that something like this happened in real life.
It's really crazy. It's really great.
It's the best.
Not so great for the car owners, maybe, but that's okay.
They
probably the funniest way you could lose a car.
They get like maybe like the story of a lifetime.
Oh my god, my car got slimed. I'm sorry, I can't come to work.
Yeah, like a huge vat of slimy, sticky, goopy eels fell all over my car and covered it with like this nasty, icky slime. That's awesome. But anyways, about the slime. So hagfish are. When they get stressed out, they can shoot out this slime, and it's, like, astounding how quickly they can release it. Like, they have these series of pores running along the sides of their bodies that shoot out the slime, essentially. And the slime itself is also a pretty remarkable thing. I'm getting ahead of myself. It shoots out super fast. Like, you could throw a hagfish... Like, a hagfish could, like, secrete, like, a Home Depot bucket of slime in a matter of, like, minutes.
I would say even seconds.
Yeah, it really...
More than minutes.
It shoots
it's
the
really
shit out.
Fast.
Yeah, it's very, very, very fast, and it's a lot of slime. And the slime is like, first of all, it's the softest like biological substance known to man. It's apparently like a cube of Jell-O is like 10,000 times more sturdy than hagfish slime. And the it's made up of a bunch of fibers, and the fibers are very, very, very thin and about the same sturdiness as spider silk. So it's just like this fibrous slime. It like what binds, what makes it a slime and not just like a liquid is the fact that it's filled with these fibers. But
yeah, it's like little like filaments that are made of like proteins.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And they mix with seawater when they're exuded or whatever, and
exactly
just, like, clog up everything.
And a single hagfish at any given point has like tens of thousands of miles of this filament inside of it, just ready to
they're ready to go.
Yeah, and it on top of that, it like the slime is cool above land, but underwater, when it hits the water, part of the membrane is stripped away the second it shoots out, and it just expands, and like basically turns into like this net that just like keeps expanding, and like it's disgusting and awesome and very, very useful for avoiding predation.
Yeah, it's also super, it's really strong tensile strength, so it's really stretchy and it's hard to break. Like it's soft to the touch and it's like goopy when you pick it up, but you can like pull on it and like you know, it won't snap.
Yeah, like
it's not. You know, I wrote this down. It snaps it at 101,526 pounds of force per square inch.
Holy shit! So it's not gonna.
It's
snap.
Really fucking strong. Yeah, it's similar to spider. It's I think it's weaker than spider silk, but it's really
very strong. That's really cool. I and what it's used for primarily when is while it's being hunted by things with gills, the slime like makes it impossible for things with gills to eat it, like because it just starts suffocating. Like the slime shoots.
Yeah,
out.
They suffocate their predators when something's about to bite them. They shoot out the slime and it clogs up their gills, and they have to swim away to not just immediately suffocate and die. Basically,
yeah. I mean, also, so in my silly intro where I said that it has a crazy KD, that wasn't like that was being silly, but that wasn't a joke. So apparently there has never been a recorded successful predation of a hagfish by a predator with gills. Nothing with gills, no shark, no anything has ever successfully eaten a hagfish as far as we know.
Yeah. That's the other thing about hagfish is they're impossible. They're like impossible to observe in the wild.
Yeah, they're also kind of impossible to observe in captivity because they live at the very bottom of the ocean, and it's like it's pretty hard to like replicate 7 miles of ocean on top of you.
Yeah.
So it's. You know,
we just don't know what's up with them for the most part. It's crazy.
We don't know how they reproduce.
Yeah. Yeah, they have like they have an idea of how they reproduce, but they just have never been able to observe it in the wild at all.
I can't.
They just have like hypotheses or whatever.
I'm going to be the first man in the world to see the slimiest animal on Earth have sex.
I'm going to be the last man on Earth to see that.
Okay. Weird.
Yeah, the other thing about their slime that is cool, or that about the when they use their slime to, well, so that's also, remember how I was saying they hunt before? There mm-hmm. are a few fish that they hunt. There's like some types of fish that they'll hunt. They'll like chase down into their burrows and then exude the slime to suffocate it, and then they eat it. Like they use it offensively instead of defensively.
That's crazy.
Which is really crazy. But yeah, so the other cool thing that they do. Body wise besides the slime is that they can tie themselves in a knot, and that's like what they do, and they'll release their slime to clog up a predator fish's gills, and then they'll tie themselves in an overhand knot starting at the tail and like squeegee the knot all the way to the front of their body and off of it, and that just like wipes all the slime off them basically.
That's so sick. Also, imagine how fun it would feel to be able to tie yourself in a knot really quickly to get all your slime off.
Yeah, that is so, it is so cool. I would love to be able to tie myself in a knot.
To get your slime off.
Especially because the other, well, to get their slime off, but the other way that they tie themselves in a knot, or the other reason that they do it for, is sometimes they're, if they're in, eating, they're feasting on a carcass, they will tie themselves in a knot and push it forward to use it as leverage to pull off a chunk of food, like to increase torque and like brace themselves basically.
Ugh.
And like use that to give them enough backward momentum to rip off a chunk.
Fucking nasty.
And that is what I would like to tie myself in a knot for, is to take a really big bite of a sandwich and then tie myself in a knot starting at my feet and use that force to just rip off a big hunk of the sandwich.
Yeah. Hell yeah. That'd be so cool. Just like,
yeah.
Or I'm kind of imagining that I'm doing that, but it's like a whale size submarine sandwich.
Yeah, and, I'm thinking of a Shaggy Scooby sandwich
now. I'm burrowing into it and tying myself in a knot, but then a bigger guy comes by and I get scared and I slime.
Yeah. Oh my god, what I wouldn't give to be able to slime, dude.
They have like the amount of slime that they produce is insane.
Yeah, it's so much. It's like, I would love to produce that much of anything.
Yeah, no.
For my body. It doesn't have to be slime.
It sounds like a clickbait title, but I think, like, the amount of slime that they... this amount of slime frustrates scientists.
Yeah.
Like, they just... like, yeah, it's insane how much slime... it's like, it doesn't make sense.
It's so cool that they're, like, they just completely resist. Like, you can't... they're impossible to observe or work with because they live at the fucking bottom of the ocean. They behave differently in captivity, obviously. And then if you touch them at all, they'll make a huge amount of the most disgusting substance on the earth. Like, they get stressed out really easily. So if you try to handle them or do any like tests on them or anything, they're just sliming. Like, it's just coming out. That's mm-hmm. like, you can't do anything about it. They just don't want anyone to know anything about them.
Apparently their slime releasing is, it can be localized.
Really? That's super cool.
If something like tries to bite them from a certain side, they can try to shoot more slime out of that side, because they do have, so they have so much slime to give, but they never use all of their slime at once. Mm-hmm. So, like, you'll never catch a hagfish without some slime in it still. And so I feel like they sometimes because it's like this protein, it's like calorically or whatever expensive to produce. So like they do slime all the time, but they try to, I don't know. They have measures to try to limit how much they're doing. But I think if you like found out how much slime like total was in a hagfish, which probably no one has ever even found out, it would be astounding how much slime is in there.
Yeah. Imagine you try to take a bite of a hot dog and you bite down on it and it squirts away from you because it's filled with liquid, and then as it squirts away from you, it just sneezes into your mouth and you die.
Yeah, because you can't breathe.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure like a number of the fish, the guild predators that try to eat hagfish don't live after that. I mean,
For sure. Yeah. I mean, sharks can't tie themselves in knots.
No.
They're kind of just fucked.
Some of them, I'm sure, eventually kind of wash it away. But like, I'm sure that some of those are kills.
Yeah. I would be surprised if they weren't. It's gotta be. Another crazy thing about the slime is because it's so strong, similar to spider silk, they do like research on it or whatever, and they are trying to use it as, a replacement for Kevlar, like, because Kevlar, like bulletproof vest stuff, is like ecologically not great to produce or whatever. So the like whatever it's called, the green alternative, is they're thinking it might be synthetic hagfish slime because it's super tensile, super strong fibers that have tensile strength, and that's exactly what Kevlar is.
That's sick. I also
pretty crazy. There are a bunch of like scientific applications for their slime, which is really interesting.
Just like how there are a bunch of scientific applications for my slime.
Yeah, but so some other applications besides ballistics protection include firefighting, anti-fouling, I don't know what that means, diver protection, or anti-shark spray.
What? Oh, anti-shark spray is interesting.
Yeah.
You just steal hagfish slime and then you're like scuba diving and you
spray it into their gills.
You just do what a hagfish does.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the shark repellent from the Adam West Batman. They're actually making the shark spray.
That's sick.
They're making it out of hagfish, out of slime hags. Yeah, and the guy who does a lot of the main research for like using hagfish slime fibers for like clothing and stuff is a guy named who's a like a hagfishologist or whatever, and his name is Douglas Fudge.
That guy is that's an awesome name for a hagfishologist.
Doug Fudge, slime scientist.
Nice to meet you.
I have to
Professor
imagine...
Fudge. Professor Fudge of the slime department.
What's your favorite kind of slime and how slimy is it?
Douglas Fudge is such a fucking good name for a guy who studies fish slime.
I mean, I feel like the people who study fish slime have to be having a good time. I mean, it's cool stuff.
Yeah, you don't study fish slime unless you really like fish slime, I feel
like. Yeah, you do.
That's not ever a job where someone just like ends up there.
It's like,
yeah, I don't know, I need
a job. I guess I'll
do research on ultra strong slime fibers. Yeah, nobody's like, yeah, you know, I did one thing and then that job opening opened up there, so I figured, hell, why not? And it's like, you know, it's whatever. I don't care about it that much either way.
Yeah, no, you have to be passionate about fish slime to end up studying fish slime. To be honest though, I think it seems awesome. I've seen videos of people handling the slime and it looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's really cool. I should mention I learned a lot about hagfish when I was a kid because my parents got me some like kids science magazine and they had an article about hagfish and I was like, those are crazy. So I already knew a bunch about them going into this that I had just like latently known in my brain and forgotten about until I was looking them up and I was like, oh my God, yeah.
I'd only known that they were slimy and that they go crazy mode on some dead whales.
I completely forgot that they tied themselves in knots.
That's so cool.
I already knew. It's funny that's in my brain, like that my like prior knowledge of hagfish, when hagfish came up on the wheel, I was like, oh yeah, okay, slimy fish things, and they use their slime for Kevlar. That was like my main my main thing
oh,
that I already knew.
Oh yeah, it's slimy fish things.
Yeah,
that's such.
And they make bulletproof vests. But they don't just make bulletproof vests out of it. Actually, it's actually they have some what should we call it? Other uses. They use their hagfish skin is used in a lot of clothing and accessories and stuff as a type of leather because it's really durable. And they usually call it eel skin. And they use it in like they make purses and wallets and belts and stuff out of it.
Yeah, no, they get a lot of use.
Yeah, and they're also, like I said before, they're eaten. They're considered. I feel like whenever you learn about an animal, there's a thing where it's like this is actually a delicacy, and it's like does everything have to be a delicacy? Can't one thing just be this is a food?
Yeah, this is actually
it's always
food
a delicacy.
In Korea.
It's never. It's never. This is a snack. It's always. This is one of the most expensive and fancy things you can ever eat.
I feel like that can't all be accurate.
Yeah, I just feel like I've never, it's always a delicacy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, hey, what a good for hagfish. They got something special going on. They're a delicacy. This isn't a late night snack. This isn't for freaking stoners with their munchies.
No, no, this is for high class stoners like Seth freaking Rogen.
Yeah, distinguished slime fans like Douglas Fudge.
Yeah, I wonder if Douglas Fudge has ever partaken of the flesh of the hagfish.
There was something I was reading, someone, when they did an interview after the big slime crash or whatever, the great slime crash of 2017, they interviewed some guy who was just hagfish scientist. I can't remember, I didn't take down his name, and I don't take down the quote either, but so they were like, he was like, yeah, they say some people eat them, but I would never want to eat one because people say they taste how they smell, and I think they smell absolutely disgusting.
They definitely have to smell disgusting.
Yeah, there's no way that they don't. You can't. Yeah, they have to be so gross. Yeah, but I guess also, yeah, the slime is used as a possible replacement for tofu because it mixes with water, and a really small amount of it can create a bunch of stuff.
Cool.
You know, but yeah. I feel like it probably doesn't taste good. I don't think I'd want to eat the slime.
Yeah, like soybean product sounds good, and like deep sea dwelling slime doesn't.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah, I feel
like maybe any slime doesn't taste good.
Candy slime. I mean, that's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
Just something I came up with on the spot.
Yeah, okay. You're probably right.
Yep. So, anyways, would you play with hagfish slime?
I would want to touch it, like, once. Yeah, I don't think I would enter into my normal rotation of toys.
Yeah, I guess I can say the same.
I don't think I'm going to be putting down Dark Souls to play with hagfish slime every night.
No, but
I wouldn't mind a single play date with the hagfish.
I feel the exact same way. I really want to touch it. But like, I think I really want to touch it once.
Yeah, well, hey, you never know. Maybe it's really fun. I guess I'm kind of talking out of my ass here. Like, it's fun to, like, it could be a Play-Doh situation.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
that stuff's fun.
It's sliming. Right? Oh,
or like moon sand or something.
Yeah.
I bet playing with a hagfish is pretty fun. I bet it feels like that thing you'd get at the dentist office where it's that plastic thing
and
filled with juice and it rotates.
You can never grab it.
It's like a ring. Yeah, exactly. I feel like they're like that.
I think they kind of are. It's like you took that and you dipped it in olive oil. You know, you're never getting it filled with blood. Yeah.
It's filled with blood. And it also kills you and chokes you when you try to eat it.
It's going to try to find a way in, and it's going to try to eat its way out.
Yeah, those dentist toy things already do that.
I will say, so like, I think we've pretty concretely described hagfish. I feel like they are awesome, and also I feel like they kind of are very hell-like. They're very out from not this worldly seeming. And also, I think it's cool that they are the way that they are and also are in the lowest place on the planet.
Yeah, they really truly do feel like Dungeons and Dragons monsters to me.
Totally.
They don't feel... Yeah, this is the most Dungeons and Dragons animal there is, I think.
So, speaking of that, the Dungeons and Dragons answer to hagfish is the aboleth.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, they kind of are like a cross between like a hagfish and a squid.
Yeah,
but they.
You know what I would also say though is that a carrion crawler is kind of hagfish-esque.
Yeah, that's also true. But one of the reasons that aboleths I think are specifically like hagfish though is that they have serious slime ability.
Yeah, I think aboleth is definitely the one, but I was just thinking, I feel like there's similarities in other stuff too.
Totally. I'm happy that hagfish got like a little bit of I don't know, a little bit of media something, just
yeah,
at least
I
in
think
aboleth.
My I know the my ha- I think hagfish also I know is very clearly nominally not a hagfish, but I would like to headcanon that he is the slug count from Berserk. I know he's a slug because it's in his name and he's clearly a slug.
But he's got
but
the
he looks
things.
He's got the same hagfish type things. Yeah.
Yeah. He fits. Also this is
and
I'm
he's,
going,
he's slimy too.
And he's nasty
Damn.
And awesome.
Damn,
I'm gonna take it back to the aboleth for 1 second, though. Something that I think is a cool touch on the aboleth that real hagfish don't do, as far as I know, is that the aboleths in D&D are like very strongly like associated with like telepathy and like psionic power and psionic damage. And the idea of something as primordial and I don't know, ancient and slimy and nasty and deep dark as a hagfish being like a psychic thing is really cool to me.
Yeah, it is really cool. I love worms or insects or stuff being associated with the brain, like I think that's a very fun trope. It really it makes sense, you know, because of this idea, it's a perfect like juxtaposition of something that we as humans think of, like, this is the lowest form of intelligence. This is a thing that a brain doesn't even exist when you're talking about this thing. And then to have that be like the brain creature is like, and I think it works very well.
And also I think that it sets up like an alien mindset immediately, because we already don't think of those creatures as being like we think of them as being like the least sentient possible, basically. So
yeah, I think it also probably comes from hive mind, I think, now that I'm thinking about it too.
Well, that's for
like
sure.
Like ants and bees.
That's for
and
sure the case for insect,
stuff.
But like,
yeah,
for like worms, I don't know. I think it's very cool to take something that seems mindless and make it the mind thing. And the idea of hagfish being, I don't know, psychically abled sounds horrifying.
Yeah. Here's my soft pitch for a psychic hagfish monster is it uses its like fucked up teeth and nodding to burrow into your head, and then it coils up and eats and absorbs your brain, and then it just is your brain, and it sits there coiled up and it looks like a brain because it's inside your head,
and then
it's pink.
And then when you walk, you spit out the slime.
Yeah, the slime is like when it's in there, like it's kind of passively exuding slime sometimes, or maybe whenever you get stressed out, because it is your brain now, whenever you get stressed out or experience adversity at all, it slimes, but because it's in your brain, like it just, the slime kind of drips out of your eyes and ears and mouth and stuff. It doesn't really come out of your pores.
That'd be cool. Or
maybe it seeps out a little bit at the hole. Maybe there's a hole in the back of your head too, where the hagfish went in, and that starts like drooling slime, and that's how you can tell someone's been taken over.
But or here's another one,
it's
constantly sliming a little bit, and like nasal drip, it just like you swallow it, and but you know you're a zombie basically now, so you don't need to eat for some reason, and so your stomach is just filled with slime. So if you get stressed out, you can just shoot out like a fucking slime attack out of your mouth.
That's sick. Here's my updated psionic hagfish pitch.
Okay.
It makes a hole in your head still, the back of your head. Mm-hmm. It goes in, it absorbs your brain, and then these hagfish are long and thin, and it goes down the back of your spine, and it becomes like your spine column, basically.
It attaches
to your spine, and it pumps blood, slime through your whole body, and it's in charge of your whole nervous system now. And then to get rid of them, you can reach into the hole into the back of someone's head and grab the hagfish by the head and pull out their entire spine like the predator. Yeah.
Oh man, imagine how both horrible and satisfying it would feel to have, a parasite thing that runs down the length of your spine get pulled out.
Yeah. Well, when it gets pulled out, it knows that it's about to be killed. So it just lets out its entire slime reserve. So the person who you're quote unquote freeing, their entire body completely fills with slime, and slime starts like, they start inflating a little bit, and slime starts coming out of every single possible orifice.
It kills them.
Yeah. It just completely,
they can't breathe through their gills anymore.
Yeah. Their gills get completely clogged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, hagfish is a perfect potential for like monster creation. What an incredible animal. Did you know that they can live in the wild? They can live for 40 years?
I was hearing that they theoretically can live indefinitely. There's no biological clock that lets them, like, they don't know how long they live really, because they haven't been able to track that. I think that they can live for 40 years, but they like don't have any proof of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. They only live 17 years in captivity. Which also, I mean, hey, 17 years for a thing like that is so sick and crazy.
That's another thing that aboliths have going on. They're like really old. They're like ancient things. That's so cool. Oh yeah, I forgot. Aboliths aboliths like carry, like when an abolith dies, it like psionically downloads, or like basically, aboleths have access to the memories of everything in their bloodline.
Oh, sick.
So, like, it's basically all been basically, like, one aboleth, kind of.
Oh, that's very cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Here's my next hagfish monster pitch. It's a hag, it's like a pretty small hagfish, but it can use its slime to create a body, and it like floats as the head. It floats. You can see it inside the slime body as its head as the head and its body as the spine. And it's just kind of like an amorphous, kind of
like that cell Pokemon.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like a dripping human body, or, it doesn't create a body, but it can create slime to just like propel itself. So it like can create enough slime to move itself up and then forward, and it can just like move around by shooting slime out.
That'd be sick. I'm trying to think. Well, what about a hagfish that didn't have any eyes at all, as opposed to just eye spots? That could be weird.
Yeah, that could be very strange.
I'm just kidding. That's not even that good of an idea.
It could be strange, though, now that I'm thinking about it. That could actually be quite strange.
No, it's really not that good of an idea. Your ideas were way cooler than that idea, so it's like probably not even worth talking about that idea anymore.
What about a hagfish where it's like, oh, I know how it has like the xenomorph-type mouth, so like when it opens its mouth, another hagfish comes out, and then that hagfish can open its mouth, and another one comes out of that, and they can just like come out of each other.
That'd be cool. What about a hagfish? This is not really, I'd say, a full monster, but just... if you took a hagfish and you replaced some of its features with slightly more human-like features, where you took its teeth-like structures and you just made them look all like human teeth.
Oh, yeah.
And
that would be great.
You took its, like, eye spots and you just gave it, like, an incredibly human-looking eye. That'd be nice. Yeah. But it still acts and does the same stuff that it normally does. Ugh.
Yeah. That would be really nasty. Okay, here's my last one. I'll stop, but here's my last one.
Okay.
This hagfish monster, it's like a hagfish, but, and it burrows inside people, but it only burrows inside, like, if it gets its slime on somewhere, it can burrow into the slime, basically.
It's like a
portal.
Like,
say its slime gets on your, and then it can come out any other place that there is hagfish slime. So if you get hagfish slime on, say, your stomach, then, like, 100 hagfish could just burrow into some other slime and just come out of the patch of slime on your stomach.
Like Portal.
Like Portal, but it's like in your flesh and it's slime and it's hagfish and there's
That's
no portal
sick.
Gun, so it's actually completely nothing like Portal.
It's a lot like Portal.
It's literally completely nothing like Portal, because any hagfish can go to any portal, okay, and they don't have to be blue and orange.
You just said Portal.
Okay, but what I mean by Portal is slime, and so it's completely different.
Okay.
It's not even similar at all, even a little bit.
Well, I think we just had our first gentleman's disagreement about slime.
Slime can be a portal.
Slime is a portal to friendship and love. Yeah. All right. Well, should we rate hagfish?
Yeah, I'm down with that.
I'm ready to give hagfish my rating already.
Yeah, go ahead.
I would give hagfish a very predictable 10 pores that I shoot slime out of super fast out of 10. They're unfuckwithable. They're super fucking sick.
It's easy. I give them 10 overhand knots out of 10 as well. And I said it before, I'll say it again. I think every creature on God's green earth is a perfect 10. I don't think he slipped up once. I think his hand did not quaver for a moment.
I'm trying to think immediately of a counter argument to that. I don't know that I'm coming up with
it. I don't think
yet.
You can do it. I think any animal, if you look it up, if you read anything about
like what they do, you'll find that every single animal.
There's,
on
I don't
the
think it's.
Sick.
I think the only way that you wouldn't that I wouldn't like an animal is if there wasn't enough. If I looked up like a subset of a subset of a subset of moth or something, and then I'd be like, I don't really care about this specific type of moth because it's not, there's nothing interesting about it. But moths in general are incredible still. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I've gotten down that hole before. I think there was a type of newt that seemed really weird looking and there was just like nothing on it and it was very disappointing. But I think that was like, it's just because there was nothing on it.
Yeah, I think every animal is a 10. I have to say it.
I actually completely agree with that sentiment.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I can't rank them. They're all beautiful to me.
And so cool. Like inventing slime like that. Like I could never invent slime.
I could do it easily, but I won't because I like them to have their own thing.
Wait, hold up, Cameron.
No, stop. You're making slime everywhere.
I just crumpled a can in front of the camera.
Okay, do you want to spin this? Yo, you want to spin this?
Yo, spin this shit out.
Let's yo, do you want to spin this with me?
Monster crazy. Yo, what's monster up?
You
want
to spin this wheel of monster?
Monster loco, spin the wheel.
Okay. I'm going to spin the wheel of monster, which determines what monster we will talk about next week. Okay, I'm going to spin it now, and here I go. Clayface from Batman.
I don't know who that is.
I think you'll like him. I have a feeling that he'll be up your alley. Very fun that you get to do someone that something that you've never heard of. I'm surprised you haven't heard of Clayface. I think Clayface will be good for you.
Oh, yeah, I like his vibes.
Yeah, I knew that you would like his vibes.
Yeah, no, he's cool. All right, sick.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to.
Yeah,
to
I have one last thing to say before we sign off here. Mm-hmm. I have some exciting news for every Monster Crazy fan. We talked about Hagfish today. Hagfish Day is coming up very soon.
What?
Okay. Yeah, Hagfish Day, which I discovered while I was doing research, is a holiday for hagfish, and it's on the third Wednesday of October, which is a hilarious way to determine, like, determining a day for hagfish. Like, it's like a religious holiday or something, and not just choosing a number.
I'm going to ask my boss for that off.
Yeah, this year it falls on October 19th. Will be Hagfish Day this year. So make sure to celebrate with your friends. Eat some delicious Korean hagfish. Wear your eel skin jacket and pants and boots. Wear your synthetic.
Cover yourself in petroleum jelly and try to get away from stuff.
Yeah, and fill your body with blood.
And make your skin so loose.
And have one nostril. And live for 40 years, or maybe forever.
Only be able to detect light or dark.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.